want to come into your presence this morning and to bow before your feet, dear Lord, and express to you our love and our desire, Lord, to worship. Teach us to worship. Teach us, Lord, to adore you. And Lord, we're looking to you this morning to speak to our hearts through our brother. I pray you anoint Brother Lynn as he speaks to us, Father, that your spirit might work to our hearts, Lord, according to our needs. Lord, I confess my neediness before you this morning, Father, and I just pray that you help us to hear, help us to see, help us to have hearts that are open to receive, O God. I just pray that you be with the many throughout our world who are suffering so much for your sake, O Lord. I just pray your mercies and your strength and grace for them. I pray that you continue to raise up laborers for the many that have never heard. And Father, that we might be faithful in doing what you have called us to. I thank you, Lord, for the good report that Joe had. And we pray you just continue to touch his life and direct him, Father, for your glory. I pray for each of those among us that are suffering, that are sick, that are facing difficulties, Lord, that you just continue to give grace and strength. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I just pray, God, that you be with Diana, help her, Lord, as she continues to seek your direction in her life. Thank you, Lord, for her desire to serve you and bless you and bless others. And I pray that you just pour out a blessing on her. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We pray just now that you just speak to us in a real way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be together again. We're out back here talking for just a bit. Harold and Don Zook walked up, and the subject that came up was how much we need God. And that's what I found out this week as I was looking at this message, which I've titled Perfect. And I have to think about my undoneness. If it wasn't for grace, all of us here this morning would not have an opportunity. And that just blesses my heart when I think about that. I'd like for you this morning to open your Bibles to Matthew 5, verse 17. Title this morning is Perfect. And before we get into the scripture, I'd like to ask, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I want to ask a question. Does God require us to be perfect? That's a scary subject, isn't it? How can God require us to be perfect? We're humans. Let's see what scripture has to say about this. Because when I think about perfection, and I think all of us would speak this for ourselves, we'd say, don't look at me, because I'm not perfect. But I want us to think about, can we be perfect in the eyes of God? That's where we want to go this morning. I hope we can pick up on this about perfection. Now, we're not going to read through a whole lot of this in Matthew 5, verse 17. The last time I finished up when I was speaking on Matthew here, I finished up talking about the salt and the light. And then he comes back in verse 17 and begins talking about the law. And that's a message in itself, and we're not going to go there. But I'd like us to think a little bit about verse 20 there. He said, for I say, he's talking here about the law, how the law has... He didn't come to destroy the law in verse 17, but he came to fulfill the law. And then in verse 20, he says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I spent a lot of time looking at that verse. What was this righteousness? We're not going to dig into that this morning, but just the idea of the scribes and Pharisees. I thought about the scribes and the Pharisees, and I thought, you know, Jesus didn't look at them very good. But if we research a little bit about the Pharisees, they did some amazing things. When it came to fasting, they were required to fast once a day. I'm sorry, once a week. But they did twice a week, a lot of them. They went beyond. Giving. They did amazing when it came to giving. A lot of things that the Pharisees did that were good. They spent time in prayer. Some of the ceremonial appointments, they were really good with keeping them. But there was something missing. And that was the inward. And I believe that's where Jesus is saying here in verse 20. Your righteousness has to exceed that. It cannot be just the outward. We're not going to push away the outward this morning. Because there is something good about the outward. But the inward has to be first. Has to happen. And the interesting thing is, we've talked about this so many times. I actually debated going into this because we've talked so much about this the last while. But I think it's important. The next verse is there, verse 21, all the way down to verse 44. He looks at a bunch of different things where he says, this is how it used to be, this is how it is now. Thou shalt not kill, don't be angry. Thou shalt not commit adultery, don't look at another to lust. He talks about the sacredness of marriage in verse 31. 33, oaths and profanity. 38, non-resistance. 44, how we are to love our neighbor. Then he comes to verse 48. And that stopped me up short a little bit there when I read verse 48. And I'd like to read that this morning. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How can I be perfect? And I thought, well, maybe that's just one verse. But as I began to look at the word perfect, it's throughout the New Testament. It's throughout the Old Testament that we are to be perfect. Let's look at what perfect means. Perfect has the idea of being complete, of being mature. It talks about a man being a man. It also talks about a net, a fishing net. And I look at this, he was talking to the disciples. What did they know about? Fishing. A lot of them knew about fishing. Not all of them, but some of them knew about fishing. It also has the idea of repairing a net. A net that has been broken. Harold talked about brokenness. A net that has been broken. Repairing that net and making that net perfect. What is it to be perfect? And can I be perfect? Three men in the Old Testament that were perfect. Not keeping up with myself here. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He was a perfect example. Three men in the Old Testament that were perfect. Hezekiah, and I read this morning a lot about Hezekiah, and it was really interesting seeing how Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. How he allowed God, or the angel of God, to come in and to get rid of all those that he didn't need around, because he said, I can't remember his name. I read that this morning. But anyhow, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. We'll leave it with that. 2 Kings 20 verse 3 says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He walked before him with a perfect heart. We have Noah. Noah was just a man. And perfect in his was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. He was perfect in his generations. Abram, before he was called Abraham. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Three examples here of men that were perfect in the Old Testament. We could continue. There's so many different examples that he gives of perfection. We begin by accepting the gift God made available to us, because he is the sole giver. He's the only pattern of perfection which he desires for his children. You may be wondering about the word perfection. We're going to get to this in just a little bit, dig a little deeper. What is he talking about for us to be perfect? Colossians 1, 27 to 29. I'd like to just read those here. He says, "For God wanted them to know that the riches of glory and of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. So because He lives within us, now we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect, in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." Now we're starting to get to the idea of what is perfection. I need you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. A couple of verses we want to look at. Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22. Actually, I think we're just going to include verse 20 in this. I want us to realize this morning that our perfection does not come from us. I don't care how hard you try this morning. I don't care how much good that you want to do this morning. Of ourselves, we cannot be perfect. None of us. Matter of fact, the harder we try, the more pride comes in and perfection continues to go out the door. Let's read Colossians 1, verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated," that's us, "and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Can you grab that this morning? Because of His death, each one of us can be presented holy and unblameable before Christ. In His sight, before God. I can't do that. But He can do it through me. When I looked at this subject, it was scary. For the idea, perfect, really? What are the people going to think when I try to talk about being perfect? Because a lot of you know me pretty good. And I'm not perfect. But am I perfect through the power of the blood? Am I perfect by Him looking down and seeing Jesus, that robe of righteousness on me? Nicodemus came to Jesus that night. And he asked Jesus, "What must I do?" And Jesus told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus told Nicodemus very clearly the condition of what it's going to take to walk with Him. Each one of us here this morning have a condition that we need to meet. To walk with God. We know a verse, John 3:16, so good, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Carl Stauffer, would you come up here a minute? God gave us a gift. He said, "I have something for you." He was telling Nicodemus, "God has something for you. I'm going to give Carl a gift this morning." Imagine, Jesus is giving this to you. Open up the gift. He comes to us, and He says, "I have something for you. I have a gift that I want to give to you." But you know, the sad thing is many of us turn our back and say, we don't want the gift. What's inside your box, Carl?
A heart.
The story, thank you. You can go sit down. Okay, just lay that to the back. Thank you. We know the story about Pharaoh, how God hardened his heart. And we know the story about Lynn, we know the story about Harold, about Nelson, about all of us. How we have hardened our hearts from time to time. We have chosen not to allow God to use us. Ezekiel 36:24. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water over you, on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. And I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. I think I misread that. No, I didn't. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be very careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Something that we forget from time to time is when He comes in, He gives us that gift of salvation. He cleans us up and He puts that new heart within us. Sometimes we like to still have control. We want to go part way. We want to give God what we have to a certain degree. But He doesn't accept that. He comes and He says, I'm going to give you this gift of salvation. I'm going to give you a brand new heart that I can use for His honor and for His glory. I have to ask the question this morning. Is your heart pliable? Is your heart new? Has He come in and has He taken care of this? Have you allowed Him to? He wants to. A couple of verses out of 1 John 1. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Somewhere I went wrong on this. No, it's there, sorry. The bottom there. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So those of you this morning that are saying that you're walking in the light, you're believers, there's a fellowship that happens here with one another. That fellowship is communion with each other. That fellowship is loving each other. That's an outward sign that something has happened within. There's a word I want us to really hang on to this morning when it comes to being perfect. And that word is surrender. Ouch. Surrender. I don't like that word. Let's be honest, we don't. But unless we're willing to surrender our hearts completely to God, everything, we cannot not attain what He wants. And I want to make sure that I come through clearly with this. I 100% agree, 100% believe that there is a place for us to continue to grow. If not, I can't be a part of this, and neither can you. There is a place for us to continue to grow. But there's also a place for us that we need to come to where we say, God, everything I have, it's all Yours. Completely. I will be sold out completely to what You want. And I believe until we do that, we can never have what He's asking of us. Billy Graham said this, if you want a change in your life, if you want forgiveness and peace and joy that you've never known before, God demands total surrender. Total surrender. Not partial surrender. Total surrender. Total surrender. He becomes the Lord and the ruler of your life. Romans 12:1-2 would say that there are three things that go along with surrender. Let's see if we can pick them out here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Our bodies are to be surrendered totally to God. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be surrendered to Him. Total surrender. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our will has to be surrendered. Totally surrendered. This looks like it's way too big for us, doesn't it? But let's remember that Jesus came and He said, I will cover you. Allow me to come in and I will cover you. You can be perfect in the eyes of God through me. Not of yourself, but through me. You can be perfect. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So many times I believe we forget that the fight that we're in is a spiritual fight. We try to do it on our own so many times. But when we come back and we get on our knees and we ask God, would you help me? Would you direct me? God, I have something in front of me here. And we pray and it disappears. Because the fight is a spiritual fight. Are we on God's side? Are we on the other side? It's one or the other. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When I made donuts over there at Yoder's, if I choose to hurry a little bit, and I didn't drop yeast into the container, into the mixer, what kind of donuts was I going to have? Flat. Mary's laughing. She knows. I'm going to have flat donuts. Not very tasty. Every ingredient has to be in there. God didn't leave out any ingredients. He has given us everything we need. He's provided everything we need for righteousness in Him. Not of ourselves. I'm going to keep repeating that. Not of ourselves, but through Him. His righteousness in us. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Now there's something that comes in with all of this, and I don't have a message about that this morning, but I'm hoping that'll be one of my messages soon. That's this whole thing about grace. We're a little cautious when we talk about grace, and rightly so. But I believe the grace of God is bigger than what we realize here this morning. And I believe it's important that we realize what His grace is in our lives. So pray for me. Lord willing, I will have a message on that soon. This is another tough verse. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We looked at Haman hanging on the gallows here just lately. And as I researched that, and I began to research here what he's talking about being crucified. And this really isn't a big deal here, but I just thought it's something interesting. But when he talks here about crucified, it goes back to being impaled on a cross. Impaled could mean with nails. But one of the things that they did in their time, they would take a pole that was 75 feet tall, and they would sharpen the pole up on top. And they would impale somebody on there. Well, there's a good possibility that's how Haman was hung. Was impaled on a pole. As a Christian this morning, our sensual appetites are to be impaled on a pole. What happens when they are impaled on a pole? There's death. Our sensual appetites have to be impaled on that pole. Our affections and lusts. They have to be put out. They have to be put to death. It's so easy for us to have the idea that we can dabble in sin one day, I can live for the Lord the next day, and then I go back and I dabble in sin again. No, that's not what he's saying. We are to crucify the flesh. And I very strongly believe this is one of the reasons, as brothers and sisters, we fail so many times. We are not choosing to allow Him to come in and to take everything out. We're not choosing to take those habits that we have within us and crucify them. What happens with the habits? I know from experience, growing up, some of the habits that I had were no good. We hang on to those habits. We hang on to the sin. It doesn't really have to be a habit. It can be a sin that we continue from time to time. It can be a habit. But we hang on to those sins because we have the idea that I'm good enough. I'm spending time with the Lord. I'm good enough that He's going to accept me. But if we continue to hang on to those habits, eventually those habits are going to become between us and the Father. And they end up becoming an idol. And if we have idols in our heart, He's not going to hear us. That's serious. He will not hear us. Crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. Come to Him daily. I don't know about you, but I find as I continue my walk with Christ, it's very often that I have to come on my knees with repentance and confession. Very often. Genesis 1:27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. We like the idea of God created man kind of to look like a heavenly figure. I don't know. But I believe He's also talking here. The image that we're created in is to be a reflection. It's to be a reflection of our Father. He said, "Be holy, even as I am holy." Long before the Sermon on the Mount, God required the people of Israel to reflect His character. You know what God calls those that follow Him, that walk holy? He calls them saints. We're scared of that too, aren't we? I don't like when somebody calls me a saint. But I believe as we walk with God, in His eyes we can become saints. Because we're covered with that robe of righteousness. Again, not of myself, but because of Him. He loves us so dearly. That's something I want us to pick up this morning, but yet He's a just God. He will not tolerate sin. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 3. We're going to spend some time at 1 John 3, beginning at verse 1. I debated what direction to go from here. Romans is loaded with good stuff about this. Galatians has really good stuff about this. But we've been studying the 1 John 3 in our Wednesday night. And as I went through this chapter, God just opened up some things for me that I probably have never noticed. Some of you here may say, "Oh yeah, that's old stuff to me." But God has us in different places, doesn't He? And that's good. 1 John 3, verse 1. "Behold what manner of love." I remember when I was in San Antonio, I used to have my devotions early in the morning while the others were still sleeping. One morning I opened 1 John 3 and I was going through this area. And as I came to this verse that says, "Behold what manner of love," God just hit me with love. Really? What manner of love? My God! What manner of love? And I grabbed my notebook and I started writing. And I don't know how much I wrote, but I wrote so much about God's love in my life. I challenge you this week, sit down with that verse. If you don't like writing, you don't want to write, speak it to God. Remind Him of the love that He has for you. And it will do something within you. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Family. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." We don't understand everything. But we know that someday we are going to see Him. Every eye is going to see Him. Am I excited about that? Is there a fear in my heart of seeing Him because there's something within my life that does not want that to happen? Am I excited about seeing Him? Our God, our Savior, our Lord, the one we can spend our eternity with. Every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself. Am I keeping myself pure? Even as Christ is pure. Am I keeping myself pure? Do I have that strong hope, that sure hope that helps me? Verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Deliberate sin, being transgressors. I like to think about the law of love that Jesus has brought to us. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. In Him is no sin. He came to remove our sin because He had no sin. There needed to be a sacrifice. Our fig leaves would not cover. There needed to be a sacrifice. So He came for that sacrifice. He's the only one that was worthy to be that sacrifice for us. And yet sometimes I turn my back on Him. He came for us. Verse 6. And whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Really? Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. I circle around that one for a long time. I'm going to explain it this way. And I invite thoughts after the service. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. When I have truly surrendered myself to Christ, when I have given Him my all, and I now know what it is for Him to work in my life, and I know what it is to walk close, and I know that peace, and I know that fellowship that we can have with Him, I'm going to choose not to walk away from Him. I'm going to choose to not sin. Am I faced with things? Yes. Let's imagine for a minute, we'll see this a little bit further down here. And I'm going to explain it this way. Let's imagine I'm driving along and I take the wrong exit. Let's understand God's grace here. I take the wrong exit. In our walk of life, we do that sometimes. We veer down a wrong street a little bit. If we're walking with God, His Holy Spirit is going to come and remind us, this is not the direction I want you to go. I don't believe at that time it is sin. But if we continue therein, it becomes sin. I believe God's grace is there to cover us. Think about that. I'd like to hear your thoughts after the service. That does not open up for us to sin. Absolutely not. That's not the idea. We don't want to sin. We want to stay close to God. But we need Him to direct us. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. But if we do it willfully, that's a total different picture. If we willfully come against Him and sin, that's a totally different picture. That's what we don't want to do. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Verse 7, I'm sorry. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Right living shows that we are covered with the righteousness of Jesus. And when I talk about right living, I'm not talking about just doing good things. I'm talking about right living according to the Word of God. 1 John 2:29 says, if ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. So as we know Him, as we walk in this righteousness, we do that because we are born of Him. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Here we have two sides that we're seeing. We've seen that along, but here I like to look at those two sides. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. I would not, most of us here this morning would probably want to be very clear that we are not children of the devil. But listen to this. What's he say? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And I'm not drawing a picture here that we have one sin and boom, we're out. That would not show God's grace. But yes, God is a just God. If we continue in that, if we don't repent, it will lead to places we don't want to go. Verse 8 again, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Think about that. Our Father is here to destroy the works of the devil. We can be a part of that. That's our God. Sin is of the devil, the father of lies. Jesus came to destroy. So now we are on one side or the other. And by the way, I'm just going to throw this out. I can stand up here and preach. I can wear my suit. Got my hair combed. I can make it look like I'm walking very close to the Father. By the way I present myself up here this morning. But my everyday walk is what's really going to say. You can go talk to my family. They'll tell you who I am. Because my everyday walk is who I really am. It's not my Sunday morning dress. It's not my Sunday morning preaching. But it's my walk with Christ throughout the week. That's really who I am. Think about that in your personal life. If that's really so, who am I? Which side am I on? Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. God's grace again. As a true believer, we would not desire to walk in willful sin. Because we're born of God. We're born into His family. The seed that He's talking about here. There's something that's planted within us. I like to think about Adam. When Adam was there, God breathed into him the breath of life. When I received Christ, the new birth, that breath of life was breathed within me. There's a seed there that's continuing to grow. Continuing onward, upward, closer to Him. I like to picture that seed as that. We have no desire to go back to our sinful life. So if you are a child of God, you cannot continue to live in sin. Because you are born again. And His life remains in us. You know, we could look at a message like this. Oh, He's teaching about eternal security. That's not my subject this morning. But may I suggest this morning. If you are saved, and you're walking with the Father, and you are totally committed to Him, you have surrendered, you are eternally secure. Oh yes, I realize. Galatians talks about a brother that has fallen. I'm not going to go there. Because I believe we can fall. But friends, let's also realize this morning, as we walk with the Father, He's our God. He has given all the ingredients that we need to walk with Him. And if we continue to walk in the way that He calls us, when we come to the death door, we have no fear. Because we are in His will. We are walking with Him. We are secure. Got kind of quiet in here all of a sudden. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. Because I believe there is a place where we can know that we are secure in Christ. We are secure. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. If we go back to 1 John, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. 1 John, I better turn there. You're welcome to do the same. 1 John chapter 1. I read a couple of verses out of here already. I'm going to read verse 5, 6, and 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, let's think about the word fellowship again. We talked about that just a bit. But fellowship is a closeness, fellowship is a communion, fellowship is continued a social intercourse, is one of the meanings of that word there. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I would love to know what the doctors say. Some of you nurses here this morning would probably know more about this than I do. But blood is a cleansing agent. Blood flowing through our bodies helps cleanse our bodies. The blood that was sprinkled as sacrifice was a picture of cleansing. Jesus' blood, as it flowed from him, was a cleansing for us. Taking away our sin. Now, we come to a couple of verses right after this. I've talked quite a bit this morning about not living in sin, not committing sin. So we have three verses here that I purposely didn't go to. We're going to go to them really quick here. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. So there is a possibility that we do walk in sin if we don't continue to follow him. Do we make mistakes? Sure we do. Let's not get away from that. We do. We're human. But that's not an excuse. Never is it an excuse for us to say, I'm human, so I'm going to live in sin. That's not an excuse. But there's a verse sandwich right in between us that gives us the answer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that the key, is coming back and confessing? And he's there so willing to hear us, so willing to accept us. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The last verse that we read there, verse 10 in 1 John, says, so now we can tell, this is the NLT, so now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. A good way to check us. Where are we at? Are we considered perfect in the eyes of God? Not according to our human looking, because we just aren't. But in the eyes of God, can we be perfect? Yes, we can. If we are fully surrendered and we continue our walk with him and allow him to control us. There's two subjects that I really like to get into in the future here, and that's grace. We talked about that. And the subject of obedience, very, very important for another time. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, I get this, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Hallelujah. Not what I've done, but because of what he's done for me on the cross, he can present me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. May I ask you this morning, where are you at with that? Are you walking close? Perfect in Christ. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not what we have done, but through His death and through His resurrection, He is our righteousness. Hallelujah. That just gives me chills when I think about the fact that He is our righteousness. He is the one that calls us. He is the one that gives us desire. And that's for every one of us this morning. Every one of us has the same opportunity. We're not going to come to the judgment and say, He had better than I did. We all have the same opportunity. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Again, I'd like for you to think about that this morning. Which side am I on this morning? You know. You know in your heart which side you're on. Would you this morning, as we pray, talk to God and allow Him to cleanse you, allow Him to speak to you. And if there's something that needs to be clarified, you're welcome to come to the altar. You're welcome to talk to somebody here. But please take care of it. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for Your blood that Your Son shed for us. Oh, Father, we thank You that You were willing to send Him. And we thank You, Lord, that He returned and He said, I'll give You the Holy Spirit to be Your guide, Your comfort. Lord, we claim that promise this morning. It was meant for each one of us here this morning. Oh, God, would You work in our hearts? Would You speak to us? Would You help us, Father, to desire surrender? To desire that full fellowship with You. We just bless You, Father. You're so good to us. We deserve so little, yet You give us so much. And we thank You. Father, we thank You also for the meal that's been prepared. We thank You so much for the hearts, the hands that have prepared it. And Father, as we eat this afternoon or this lunchtime, I just pray that You would help us, Father, to realize that every gift is from You because of Your love. We commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.